Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Sorry, I started that introduction there while I still had half phlegm in my...
Phlegm brûlée.
I've had a cold for... I reckon I've had a cold for about a month now.
Ugh, can't shake it?
Just can't.
Is it not... Is it a wee chesty one?
I went and checked at the doctor to see if I had a chest infection.
Yeah.
And I think I do. They think I don't. But I think it's because they wanted to get me out of the... The appointment quickly. Because you know how, like, doctors
okay,
now...
Okay, right. Okay.
I was reading about this. Doctors have... There's like a 15... It might not even be 15 minutes. Like a 9-minute amount of time that each person has. And, like, if you go over that, then they're fucking running late. So they need to cut it off for someone else.
Great.
So if you're going, if you're getting in there with like a not much of an ailment that requires in the 9 minutes,
yeah,
if
yeah.
you then go over that, you're taking away from someone that really might need more than 9 minutes.
So you have 9 minutes to prove you're sick or not.
Basically, I don't know if you've phoned a doctor recently.
Oh, I have.
You have to describe what's wrong with you to a fucking receptionist before. Like,
you have to ring between... No, to get the thing, it's between 8 and 9, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
But before that, then, you have to... Yeah, there's a couple of questions, like, so... And he goes, okay, we'll pass that to the nurse, and then the nurse will decide if you...
Yeah, yeah, it's mental, man. Mm. It's like... I remember it was like a kind of mole on my back, right? And I was getting... It got bigger.
Yeah.
And started to kind of change and stuff like that. So I was like, oh, fuck. Normally, like, panicking about that. And when I phoned up and I was like, I'd just like to get something on my back checked out. And she said, right, can you describe it? And I'm like, not really, because...
Yeah.
And then she was like, I can give you my number and you can send me a photo. And I was like, hold on. You're not a doctor.
Yeah.
And also, you're offering out your number here. And she was like, no, the practice number. And I was like, no, but I'm still... I'm having a, would it not just be easier for you to just make me an appointment so that they could actually check out as opposed to me positioning myself behind a mirror trying to take a picture of something and then sending you my back?
Your wife coming in.
Exactly.
You should get a picture of your arse. No. It's from my local physician.
Some woman gave me her number and now I'm sending her pictures of parts of my body.
Can you imagine having that, the WhatsApp from that practice? It must be just pictures.
Yeah, I know.
It's just a stream of pictures of
weird
cocks and burst knees.
Yeah. Oh, God.
just an absolute, oh, God, the camera roll and that fucking thing. Everyone to lose on a bus.
You're just back from Belfast.
I am.
Like an hour ago.
I'm all hyped up on Red Bull, quite tired, you know. I got last night at the gig in the Empire, because Harp sponsored the gig. They don't sponsor this podcast, but I'm wearing it. I've been given a
they
Harp.
They could sponsor this podcast.
yeah.
Were they so inclined?
Listen, Harp, thank you for the free jumper. I love Harp, though.
What does it say on it?
It just says, I don't know, it's Christmas.
Oh, it's Christmas. Oh, snow it is. So normally Irish people would say, it's Christmas. Snow it is.
Fuck off.
Oh.
I love Harp. Did I ever tell you about the time I tried to get in the Harp ad?
No.
I try to go... So what I remember this is there was a Harp ad with a lot of massive pay.
Mm.
I mean, everybody had to go to the Europa. So I was like, fuck, you know, looking for comedians with like Norvish Ulster accents.
Europe's most bombed hotel.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Still a good hotel.
Mm.
it's nothing to do with their service. It was just where it is. Is that like someone who's like, I'm back here tomorrow because you overcharged the scone? Scone or scone?
Scone.
Yeah.
Before we move on, we had a debate at the gig in Liverpool I was on the other night with all the backstage, and nobody agreed with you on the data thing. Everyone said it's data.
It's fucking data. It's data.
No.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you what people data. Are, what people are saying in the
fucking
in the industry.
And fucking Liverpool. You went to Liverpool of all fucking places. No, we all went up to Ulster. Went up to the Europa. And basically, when I opened the door, it was just every single comedian in Ireland. And nobody had told each other because it was so much money. And we were all like, every time another comedian walked in, we went, ah, you fought. And everybody went, all right, grand, whatever. Mickey Bartlett eventually got it, right? Years ago. And we you had to go in twos. And you had to, like, pretend that you were holding like a pint glass. There was none, they didn't even give you the pint glass. And you had to pretend you were like catching the waves off, you know, somewhere in Northern Ireland or whatever. So the waves off, blah, blah, blah. And basically, it was a massive, long, oval room, shaped room, but you were so far away from these three people that were doing it like a fucking American Idol type thing. I just saw Dave Elliott. You know Dave Elliott?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so Dave Elliott came out like in tears laughing. I was like, what happened? I think he was in with Shane Todd. And what happened was they kind of took one look at Dave and were just like, nah, not for us. So Dave went, oh, shit, right, where do I put this? Right.
Oh, right. Yes.
And walked slowly the whole way down towards them.
Yeah. Oh,
and then put the fake paint on the thing and then shook their hands.
That is beautiful. Oh, that is stunning.
I can't tell if that's what I remember because it was a long time ago of it. And then I remember Shane Todd came in. I think it was Shane that came in, or maybe it was Colin Geddes, but anyway, one of the two came out and was just like, ruined my fucking edition because I was just too busy laughing after that.
Oh, that is amazing. Mm. That's absolute class.
Check out their podcast.
There was a, yeah, they need it. I remember a while ago you would have probably seen this because War got a callback or something where loads of Scottish comedians and Scottish actors had been asked because they were casting a Scotty in the reboot or whatever current incarnation of Star Trek. And you had to do a stealth tape, but it was like, I think there was like so many disclaimer forms that you had to agree to, like non-disclosure things completely. It was one of those things. Do you know when they film a big film and they call it something completely different?
Yeah, yeah.
Because, so when the press or the movie press find out that there's a big film getting filmed in a certain area and it's called something like Enigma and it turns out it's a new Mission Impossible film.
That.
It had that kind of thing.
Aye.
And they were like, I mean, I remember reading, I didn't even bother doing a self-tape for it because was terrible, terrible actor. And I thought, this is fucking pointless.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it eventually went to an actor
well,
as rightly it should.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember reading it and going, they were genuinely, it was as if they'd emailed you the actual identity of who killed Kennedy. Like, it was that serious a language. Like, if you breathe a word of this, like, who cares? Cares?
The Conjuring 4.
Yeah.
I swear to God, if one person even says that there's going to be another.
Fucking utterly ridiculous, man. Oh, God.
Have you done many of the auditions? I'm a real bad actor, too.
I've auditioned for one Iron Brew advert once.
I got asked to leave an advert when I was in, I was barely doing comedy. I was working in, not much change, am I right? Nah, he goes, I walked in, right, and they were just like, okay, so it was Super Value, I'm pretty sure it was the advert, and they were like, walk up and down, you know, this is you. They paired you up with a man and a woman come in from either door, and they paired you up, and they're like, just, you know, they're doing that thing where, you know, we don't have actual proper lines. You know, we're hoping that one of you will come in and So they were like, pretend you're a couple. Just do, you know, you're a comedian, Ryan. Just do what you would normally do thing, right? So she was just like, just reacted as if a bit of banter in the thing. And I don't know why. I knew I wasn't getting the bit. So I was just trying to, like, entertain myself.
Yeah.
So she went like, "He's like, oh my god, will we get some chocolate cookies?" Like, not chocolate cookies. You always get fucking chocolate cookies every time we come to this shop. So trolley's full of fucking chocolate cookies, and they just went, "Yeah, no." Yeah. Can you just leave, Ryan? I walked out laughing, and you walk out to this little room where there's all like, I think there was like one other comedian, like Fred Cook there, and everybody else was a thing. But to them, it must have been like, okay, we're ready for you, Ryan. I walk in, and out 34 seconds left is me coming back out in tears laughing. And they were like, that didn't... I was like, oh, yeah, no. Chocolate cookies every like, fucking time we come
just,
in here.
Just that way, like, ah, you're a comedian, Ryan. Just do what you would do as a comedian. Why you just start heckling? Like, treating her like a heckler. Hey, those shoes.
Hey, honey, I've got a new dead baby joke. Nothing to do with it.
Start speaking. Listen, I don't interrupt you at work. I don't come down to the dock and slap the sailor's cocks out of your mouth.
Pretend there's a shitter in this. Pretend there's an active shitter in the super value. Hit the deck, love.
We did roast battle against one another.
Right? Yeah, you know what?
Which was an anticlimax.
Like, it was an anticlimax. I'll tell you what it was. Like, I'm a big fan of the old roast battles. They've been going very well. They tend to be pretty much 90% really fucking good nights, just fun nights. And it was a fine night, but it was, like, definitely the worst. You know that immediate one when you're trying to get the... Everybody was smiling. Mm. But you know when you're, like, when Gus was trying to MC, he was like, everybody here for a roast battle. And then there's a 1 second delay.
Yeah.
And then people go, woo, you're already, you're like...
Yeah, you're not here for roast battle.
Yeah,
at all.
You're not here for roast battle. A lot of
yeah.
It was like it was only half full too. It was like 50 in or whatever.
It was because I was talking to David at Monkey Barrel about that, and he was saying that it is always, and you notice it at comedy clubs as well. That week of Christmas, this is like the second week.
Yeah.
Is always a wee bit, because the first week's always mental because it's folk going, oh, it's December, let's go out and get a drink, let's do all this. And then the second week, folk are going, oh, shit, I've got quite a lot of stuff to buy. I need to get all that organised. Yeah. I need to finish stuff off at work. Third week, folk go, I don't give a shit anymore. It's fucking Christmas week.
Back that's to not mental. Giving a shit.
Aye. So it just was one of those.
I felt like it was one of them. Like, I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. I was just, because I was hoping for more of a... I wouldn't have minded a mad Christmas one.
No, it would have been class.
You know, for a roast battle, I was like, great, we'll get a higher. And you just ended up when you're going for the Christmas one, you're like, all right, that one was a bit fucking... Like,
yeah.
I expected, like, January's one to be...
The rough one, aye.
But no, I felt like it was a rough one. It's, and then there was, like, two battles just before us that didn't go that well as well.
Yeah.
So we were like, I was like, fuck. And I actually said to you, because, like, I always find... you're harder to write for than you. I feel like you should be easy.
Yeah, there's quite a lot to write about.
I said that the last time when I did you too. I was like, for some fucking reason, I can't beat you.
I know you can't.
I can't beat you.
Am I 2-0 now?
Yeah. You're 2-0, yeah.
2-0. What the hell? American sports. but there was a... Because, see what I've noticed with roast battles is, the last couple I've done... I think the attitude towards them is changing because people come in watching a roast battle and even the compa goes, right, you ready for some really brutal, brutal shit? And folk are like, yeah, say anything. They don't mean it.
No.
They don't actually want you to say anything.
Yeah.
They want it very strictly within the parameters of what they find acceptable.
Absolutely. Some of ours is absolutely like
it was horrible.
I've written funnier jokes, but ours was pretty horrible.
It was horrible.
But it was so much funnier because the night wasn't is electric and we just had about fucking I was chatting about your teeth being like dragging a dusty kid from Gaza out of it, thinking it was rubble. And people were like, hey. And there was one particular years.
What one? Let's not mention that. That was an error.
That was excellent. Yeah. That was so funny.
There was two jokes, right, that I did to you. One of the ones I was raging about because I'd played about with it all day, right?
I've got them here, actually.
The last one I changed purely because people by that point were getting horrified and I changed the ending to it.
God damn
just
it,
to
yeah,
make
yeah.
it even worse. So the last joke was, I said that your mum had been shagged by so many British soldiers that every Remembrance Sunday they lay a wreath at the entrance and it was supposed to be the entrance to our minge. Yeah. And I just changed it to cunt just to be harsher. And it was
great.
There was some people just sat there and went, what is this? This is horrible.
So there's some people in my Discord watched it you know, the NFL Discord, and they were just like, God, they picked up on the audience, right? And they were laughing. They said, there's someone apparently in the front row that you could see in the camera just hating all of everything we said.
Really?
Yeah, yes. Apparently someone absolutely fuming. So it's good crack, though.
Right, the one joke, right, I was angry that they didn't, right? So I was talking about, I was like, Ryan's career is going terribly. No opportunities whatsoever. Ryan's career has had less doors open this year than Tina Turner's advent calendar. And that got fuck all. Right?
Yeah.
And I hope it's because they forgot that Tina Turner had died this year.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't use Shane McGowan again because I'd already used him as a
great
joke. That would have been better.
Do you know what I get when I write a really long one and thing? It's always the one that, fuck's sake, the joke that everyone laughed at the most was the one I improved. The one that I started about round one. I was like, you should go first. And I tried to rub your belly. They were like, yeah, that's what we want. I was like, shit. Like, you know,
physical appearance ones, that's all they want.
Yeah.
That is really all they want.
Yeah.
Because there's only so many of them you can do.
Because I wrote something about, I don't know. I wrote, like, the one I got, it looked like you play with your nipples when you take a shit.
Yeah, that was fun. It was very funny.
But they went, yeah, that's what we want. And then you say something horrific about the thing they're like,
yeah.
And I realize now as well, when you said a lot of the physical ones are the ones they go, they love.
Yeah. Because I suppose it makes sense because they've got a frame of reference. They can actually look and go, oh, yeah.
Well, you live and you learn. Exactly. I should fucking learn. I have to do the fucking world championships.
I know, I genuinely would be worried for you after that. Like, I can now just go, well, I'm never doing that again.
I've got one in January.
Right. Am I going to? You're doing yet?
No. Am I going to have to do one of those things like Joshua before a big fight? Take on the nearest postman. Hit them for 10 and then go like, yes, I'm ready again.
Maybe just pick some poor open spot who's never done it before.
Yeah.
Just utterly ruined them and then go, right, I'm fight ready.
Person with one leg, missing eyes, fucking hell.
Oh, Christ. Right, it's week two of Christmas month. This was, and Ryan,
this
your
was
choice.
This was my choice.
Yes.
Because I love this film.
As do I.
Good, because, like, you know, it's one sometimes that people, I think the people that have seen it completely agree, but most people would be like, what? Mm. You know, I remember a few times they go, Daddy's Home 2?
Yeah.
Which is the film, they go, and a couple of people have messaged going like, you said that the rule was and you haven't done that. I'm like, it's Christmas specials. Yeah. We're allowed to skip Daddy's Home 1.
Yes, that was the rule. Because initially the rules we established for this were we had to find them in a charity shop.
Yeah.
So for this, we don't need to because it's specials.
Yeah.
And also we couldn't do a sequel unless we'd done the original.
Yes.
And we couldn't even do it in like we couldn't do Goldfinger until we'd done Dr.
Yeah, Mill. Yeah.
But with this, we made an exception because it's out with the rules because it's a Christmas film and it's Christmas special. So
and
there are
God,
no rules.
And thank God, because Daddy's Home 1's terrible.
It is.
This is the thing. Daddy's Home 1 is, don't bother.
It did a lot better critically, Daddy's Home 1, than Daddy's Home 2, which I can't understand.
How? It's so crap. Like, yeah. I would just be like, it wasn't even a Christmas film, didn't they? They just kind of went, we may as well fucking punk this into the Christmas.
Big fan
of it. I watch it every year for Christmas.
Oh, I love it. I love Daddy's Home 2.
Yeah.
It's absolutely brilliant. It's so funny.
Oh, Marky Wahlberg.
Yes. Yeah.
Is this our first Mark Wahlberg?
I think it might be. I think it might be.
I like Mark Wahlberg.
I love Mark Wahlberg.
Look, people bring up like a lot of shit about him, about when he was a kid, all the shit he did.
Yeah.
When he blamed that Vietnamese dude.
Well, because was he a bad boy when he was?
He was like a full on like drug addict at 13 years old.
Oh, really?
Aye, real rough.
Is this before?
Before
New Kids. Was he in New Kids?
No, his brother was in New Kids. So what happened?
Donnie Wahlberg.
Yeah. So what happened was Mark was like thing proper violent. He would have a mad racist attack and blinded a Vietnamese dude.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Completely blinded him. He's been since trying to find that guy, but he can't find him. But people keep bringing it up like a shady pass. But really,
these guy can't find him either. That's the worst thing.
I mean, in fairness, like he was, you know, that like he was 14, 15 or something when he did it, right? And people are like, "Is shady pass?" But I'm like, he's pretty open about it. Like he talks about it all the time. He's like actively. I think I'm pretty sure it was like Ellen or something where he was like, "I can't find the guy. If anybody has,
yeah.
I've been trying to find him for so long or whatever." But and then he got into God and. You know, turn around. Donnie Wahlberg, his brother, then got into New Kids on the Block.
Yeah.
And then Donnie helped him do the Marky Mark,
Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Yeah. And then went off from there. But it was all before that. Yeah.
Because he's one of the proper Boston.
Yeah.
Boston boys. He's one of the. Do you know Mark Wahlberg is one of the actors that seems easy to impersonate? Like I've seen, because he's out of breath quite a lot of time. It's like, hey Ryan, here we are. God, back in the studio. Oh my God, and it's Christmas time. Oh, and you got a jumper on, cool jumper. Oh, like he does sound like he's like,
got asthma.
Yeah, he does a lot. I see him a lot on videos where he's like doing, because see people take the piss out of him because he's one of those guys that he gives like his daily routine. Where he gets up like 3:30 and eats
dreadful
eats
life.
A pig and 9 eggs and then goes to an ice bath and
and then it like half his day he'd be like fuck immunity start winding down it's 8 a.m. Fuck it, it's just a dreadful life. When he put it out, I was like, first of all, it's Mark Wahlberg being Mark Wahlberg, you know. Mm. I kind of enjoy him, I must say. I like him in films too. He can make absolutely dreadful films. Now he couldn't save a couple. You know what else he couldn't save? The people in 9/11. He used the top 3 ever terrorist tweets. Do you remember that one?
No.
Good, because I have this saved. This is all I've wanted to talk about. You've never seen Mark Wahlberg's 9/11
no,
stuff?
I don't think so, no. Has
he
been in a 9/11 film? No, it was the Boston bomber film that he was in.
Oh, yeah, right. So if you don't know this, this is one of Marky Mark's famous things. He thinks that 9/11 wouldn't have happened if he was on the plane.
Like Chris Jericho?
Yeah. Yes. Mm. No, my multiple planes for a start, so already from the off.
Yeah.
His quote...
Well, maybe not. If he takes back one plane and then chases the other plane in that plane...
Playing out of it... When he jumps from one plane to the other's like, we can't drive this. He would just let that one fall. He said in a New York, I think it's New York Times or whatever, if I was on that plane with my kids, it wouldn't have gone like down like it did. There would have been a lot of blood in that first class cabin. But there's more to this. Hold on, I need to find what he exactly says. Yeah. If I was on the plane, there would have been a lot of blood in the first class cabin and then me saying, okay, we're going to land somewhere safely now, don't worry.
Jesus Christ.
So that's my favourite.
I don't think there were first class.
No, I don't
think. First class section of the planes that were hijacked during 9/11.
Well, it wasn't at the end, didn't it?
No. But as a first class.
I presume the hijackers didn't go first class.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a couple of free margaritas. Before this goes down. And mind you, if you were in
the lounge before.
Aspire lounge.
Just these four shifty lads. Bowls of peanuts.
Machine gun shaped suitcases. You know, because it was before 9/11 technically. So, you know, they didn't have the...
Technically. 9/11 technically it happened after.
I don't know why. Obviously, you can make out.
No, technically. Absolutely, it was before 9/11.
Tell me, though, this. You're an Al-Qaeda terrorist, right? Mm. This is your big day. You're going to meet, you know, you're going to God and all that, right? You're sitting there in the plane. You're about to, you start the whole, you know, terrorist shenanigans, right? And then Mark Wahlberg. Tell me you wouldn't freak out if Mark Wahlberg stood up and just went, no!
Oh, yeah.
You'd be like, is that Mark? Oh my God, I'm being taken down.
See,
maybe the terrorists were the Funky Bunch. Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. No, you would freak out.
You would freak out.
This is the second time we've done this, essentially.
Yeah. Do you reckon if you were, because I don't know how long into the plane they would hijack, do you reckon you start watching a film if you were one of the hijackers?
Aye, in United 93.
Or would you be so focused? Would you be
you
so focused? You'd just sit and go, right, here's what I'm going to do. Would you go, I'm fucking cool about this. I wouldn't mind watching Who Framed Roger Rabbit before I go again.
You'd love to know what film they watched. Yeah. I mean, Marky could have stopped it, because if they watched The Happening, they might have just killed themselves right there and then.
Oh, good God.
Just shot themselves.
One of the worst films I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, so maybe that could have.
Ah, so that's so. Right, I didn't know about that about Mark.
Or maybe Robert. It was the. Yeah, he's top three of the terrorist tweets, along with Danny Dyer's and Brian McFadden's.
I don't know. I don't know either of them either.
And then they off. Right, so Brian McFadden's was
ISIS. Don't pretend you've not got them saved.
I have them ready. Well, Brian McFadden's was in 9/11. His was ISIS.
Right, okay.
So Brian McFadden from Westlife said, wouldn't it be great if ISIS had the balls to stand face to face of us and fight? No weapons, no bombs, no dead children, just man to man.
Man to man.
Yeah, he tweeted that.
Wow.
Brian McFadden.
Brian McFadden is saying he would stand up to terrorists, but he can't even stand up to do a song.
Yeah.
You fucking stool-dwelling prick.
Imagine if ISIS went, yeah, cool.
Oh, my God.
They swear and be like, oh. No bombs.
What was Danny Dyer's? Did they call him Slags?
He did.
Was that it? Yeah. Slags?
Yeah. So 9/11, his 9/11 tweet was, I don't know what year this was. It was something, it was like 2014 or something like that. Can't believe it's nearly been 11 years since them Slags smashed into the Twin Towers. It still freaks my nut out to this day. 9/11, Channel 4, 10 o'clock.
Slags.
It's been 11 years since them Slags smashed into
the... Not even them Slags.
Them Slags still freaks my nut out to this day. Oh, and then he just writes, 9/11, Channel 4, 10 o'clock. There must be like a document. So this is all right.
Christ, that's
funny. He's the least... Now, Mark Wahlberg is the least... Mental. Controversial person, because Mel Gibson's in this.
Yes. Yes. Now, first of all, can I say the casting in this is phenomenal.
Top class.
Yeah, because already Ferrell and Wahlberg are brilliant. But when they were sitting down to pick who to play their dads, I don't think you could cast better in terms of actually looking quite like them.
Yeah.
But also being the same kind of person.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah.
I think casting John Lithgow as Will Ferrell's dad is genius. It's absolute fucking genius. Yeah,
man deserved an Oscar for it.
Oh, there's so many Oscars that are deserved in this. Gibson. I love Mel Gibson. Clear faults.
Yeah, I like some of his films too.
Aye.
I do.
Some that are pish.
I used to like the film The Patriot.
Aye, that's quite good.
I remember that back in the day.
Lethal Weapon. That's another good Christmas
obviously
film.
Lethal Weapon. Yeah. Is it Christmas
film, yeah. But even like when he first enters this,
The entrance is brilliant.
Thunderstruck playing and like a gold halo behind him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
winking.
And he winks at the stewardesses. And Brad's and then Will Ferrell going, my God, I know this sounds weird, Dusty, but he's beautiful.
It's like he's getting carved from Gibraltar. You know what it means.
Do you know there's a... Do you know the first... So I maybe saw this film for the first time in, I don't know, maybe 5 odd years ago, something like that. And every single year when we watch it, I try and find a jacket and a coat that's like the one Mel Gibson wears in it. Because I love coats, right? I've got far, far too many jackets and coats. I spend most of my clothing money on jackets and coats, right? Just, you get to that, I've always loved them. It's like a Britpop 90s kind of thing, because there's some cool fucking coats about. But now I can't not buy, I bought one the other day. But especially when I see, like, I spent ages looking for the same coat that Idris Elba wears in Luther.
Good coat.
And eventually found that.
I'm rewatching at the moment.
I found that. I cannot find one that's like, and
I can't even picture it.
It's so cool, man. It's like it's called a pea coat, right? And it's black and it's double breasted, but it's got big collars down like that. And it looks cool whether it's open, whether the collar's up, whether it's completely buttoned. It just, because he wears it in all those looks.
Do you know what the worst thing about this is? And it's a dawning realization that you're trying to get people like Idris Elba and Luther, but I am definitely on the John Lithgow, Will Ferrell, because I wear jumpers. <You do. laughs> I was like, shit. It just all came down on me. I was like, God damn it. You watching looking for Mel Gibson's coat, me like, what did John Lithgow wear in Daddy's Home 2? What type of sheepskin? Do you know a good cameo at the very start of the film when, you know, they're at the Christmas play? Their daughter's Christmas play and Bill Burr.
Bill Burr, yeah.
Yeah.
Enjoy therapy, boys! You better shut the hell up.
I don't even think we have to, even if you haven't listened to this or watched this film, it is basically a joint Christmas between two stepdads, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, it was really kind of weird. One of the wives went from banging Mark Wahlberg to Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it'd be like me. It'd be like going from Megan Fox to fucking Will Ferrell.
Yeah. It is weird, actually.
I'm like, this
I
is...
don't know if you ever... Because I've only seen Daddy's Home once.
I can't barely remember it.
Find out what it is that causes them to split up.
Yeah.
But I'm a huge fan of Linda Cardellini, who plays Will Ferrell's wife.
She's great. I think she's
brilliant.
I don't know what else she's in.
Right, so I've got this... I don't even know if this is going to sound creepy or not, but I have this weird thing, right, about some women, right, there are some women that I think are so good looking.
I know what you're doing.
What?
You have a type. It's Natasha Leggero.
Yeah. Oh, no, I suppose she does look a bit like her. But there are some women that are so good looking that I almost... don't want to have sex with them. Does that make sense? They're almost like, it's not that they're pure, but they're
pure. Don't say the word pure. No, you are fine.
There's a cuteness about certain women that I go, I would absolutely love to go out with you.
I'd love to go out with you.
I'd love to be married to you. I'd love to have a laugh with you. But I reckon if we had sex, I'd kind of go, oh, I've kind of spoiled this now because... you're far too good looking for me to have sex with.
That's so sad.
I was trying to explain to Sloss the other day in a message as well about someone.
And he said, did he agree with you?
He didn't reply to me.
He didn't reply.
We were talking, right? I'm not going to name who it's not a comedian that British audiences will know. Well, they might. But it's not anyone in our circuit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But cause I messaged Sloss at the weekend because I'd been watching clips and that was that Matt Rife did.
Mm.
And I was like, Sloss, I imagine people have told you this, but you really do look like him.
Maybe when he was younger. Yeah. I get it. The hair and the cheek butter and the bone.
Lips and shit like that. And I was like,
lips.
Yeah, folk have been saying that, but obviously he's
Matt Rife lips.
He's better looking, and I was like, oh god, yeah. But then he was.
I get the same with Todd Barry.
I get the same with Norm Macdonald as he looks now. Todd Barry, that's absolutely perfect. You didn't even go like a Bill Burr or something or a CK. Todd Barry, that's
Jim Norton.
Fucking amazing.
Jim Norton head.
But yeah, I was explaining to him and I was like, oh yeah, there's this comic and I was like, I watched your videos and stuff and I explained it exactly as if I explained it to you.
Oh, yeah, you did.
And he'd been firing off replies and up until that. And then I threw that in and then he just went, no.
Amazing. She is great though.
Yeah. And another reason why I really like her, and this again is going to make me sound very, very strange.
Yeah.
I have a weird thing about Velma from Scooby-Doo.
Everybody does. No, not Velma.
No, I everyone's know. Daphne's.
Daphne, sorry. Because I don't get this. But I've seen it all over. People are going mad about this Daphne shit.
Yeah, because Daphne.
Which one's Velma?
So Daphne's the one with the red hair. Looks almost like a kind of Jessica Rabbit type.
But
she's got like a short purple skirt on, purple tights. She's the good looking one, right? And then, but then Velma is the kind of bookishly one with the black bobbed hair. and an orange jumper on.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I thought it was the other way around. I thought people were into the thing. All right. Yeah, I see.
Because Daphne is kind of portrayed as being like...
Okay, I know which one.
The sexy one, if you like.
So you had a thing for Velma?
Yes. Gareth Waugh knows this.
Scrappy for me.
So...
Tear that wee boy apart.
Because Waugh knows this. And she played her in the Scooby-Doo live-action film.
It's all coming.
Because I remember... I remember Waugh sending me, like, this fucking... I can't even remember, like, some kind of OnlyFans. It was before OnlyFans, but this kind of thing where... It was like one of those Halloween costumes. Like this girl dressed up as Velma and was kind of dancing about. And I replied to him and I went, this might be the hottest thing I've ever seen in my life. Didn't reply again.
So basically what you're saying is your thing in women is just made people to just... You keep leaving people unseen. People leave you unseen when you mention...
Yes.
That's great. Yeah. That's very funny. That's very funny. She played Velma too. She's in ER.
She was in ER as well. Yeah. I mean... I know her back catalog. That's what I'm saying.
She is good looking, though. I don't know. Not Mark Wahlberg level. And it's very funny, though, that we're chatting about the good looking one as her, because I do agree that she's better looking than the superstar model.
Alexandra Ambrosio.
Yeah. The custard.
Yeah.
The
custard.
Alexandra Ambrosio. Terrible acting.
I can't stand her in this film.
Shocking actor.
I think she's a fucking pointless character.
It is. You know what? The problem is, like, they tried to make her, like, boring and vapid, kind of. Like,
and then
try to make her a thing. But there was actually no point to it.
They threw in the shoplifting thing.
Yeah, she goes around, like, Winona Ryder. You're not Winona Ryder.
Yeah.
You know? She stole my heart. You just... You're stealing a pair of jeans. that was her best. She's not a good actor, in fairness to her, you know. As well, it's quite hard because, like, there's a couple of people that technically aren't good, but was just not.
See the wee girl, right? So not the one that is Cena's daughter. The other wee girl. Is she? Because I was looking at the cast. Is she Emilio Estevez's daughter?
No,
it's just another Estevez.
I googled it too.
Because I noticed the name Estevez, and I thought...
I googled it. I did the exact same leap. Yeah, because I was like... I was looking for that, the kid, the wee son, because I was like, I know this little cunt from son.
Yeah. He's good.
He's very good.
I like him.
He was great, yeah. I mean, I like all of them. They're all pretty good in their own way. Like,
the bowling scene's brilliant.
Yeah.
He hits one pin. It's the other kid when he's going, hey, everyone, this kid's about to bowl a perfect zero, and then the whole crowd start betting on him.
About to roll a donut.
I just noticed this. When it shows his score and it shows one,
300.
The person above's got a perfect bowl.
Yeah. I think it was meant to be.
Yeah.
I think that's meant to be Mel and.
Yeah, I think I, yeah, yeah.
They were doing the looking in. Did you ever see the video of me doing the bowling?
No.
I'm so toxic at bowling. I get proper good at bowling. Do you remember the time I was like, well, I was doing terrible and I started shouting at Sloss and Gareth to... I've got it here. I started shouting at Sloss and Gareth to... I was like, you watch this, I'll fucking kill myself live if I don't get a strike. No?
No.
No? I'll play this on the... I said aisle six.
Oh, that is... That is fucking excellent. That is absolutely wonderful.
I have my own. I only step up when I become toxic.
That is
I'm really bad at bowling.
Uh-huh.
But if I start becoming an absolute cunt at it, I'll start, like, film me, I'll roll a strike. Remember when we were doing the beer pong with Waugh? It was only when I kind of prick, I absolutely hit everything.
Ah.
When you do the golf,
yeah,
I was four or five fucking edibles deep. When everybody starts screaming at me, start smashing the golf.
Yeah.
Maybe I should start tanking gigs and then I'll start becoming unbelievable.
Yeah.
They're like, get you off stage, you fucking dickhead. And I'll be like, now's my time to show hatred.
I go bowling quite a bit.
Do you?
I really love
it. I love it.
I love bowling. I wish we had a bowling culture in Britain. Because it's a proper...
It's the last fucking thing that Britain needs is bowling culture as well.
No, I know. But it's... I love it in America. I don't know if it's just because it's American films, but I love things like that people have bowling leagues and like Lebowski kind of shit.
Yeah.
Because it's such a... I'm all right at it, actually.
Okay.
And then I go with the kids and it's the one thing where I never, ever even consider letting them win. Like, it's not even a... Like, it's pure... I'm not even really playing them.
Yeah.
I'm playing my own game. It's me against me, and they're just a breather in between me.
Fuck's sake.
It's weird, right? Because I've got that thing. And whenever we go to bowling, there's, like, amusements and stuff, right? Which I used to hate. I loved them as a kid, but then when I became a parent, I used to hate it because it is... an absolute fortune.
It is, yeah.
And a con. I don't like, I still hate the teddy grabber machine because it is frustrating and you can see the kids getting frustrated with it and it is a con.
Yeah.
However, there is one game at it, right, that you have to, it's not a strongman thing. You have to hit, you get this like foam hammer. There's this wee ringmaster. And he's got a phone hammer attached to him. And you hit this sensor and it goes up like the big needle, right? But you need to hit it in a way that it's not too hard, but it's not too soft. And it needs to get right up to the top.
Nice.
And with that, you get 1,000 tickets.
Oh, that's better.
This is, swear down, this is genuinely true. There has not been one visit to the amusements in, I reckon, the past 5 years. That Seamus hasn't won that thing.
He's just
fucking,
got the exact... He was born for that game.
Fucking incredible. It is genuinely jaw-dropping. Like, I've got... I'll send you pictures.
Do you reckon when he hits puberty, then it's gone?
I hope not.
And he runs in and he can't do it anymore. They're like, you've grown.
You can look at people, can't you?
No, I never knew that. Search your Google Photos via person.
You can search it for things that are in.
That's so weird that they know. He's won, how many 1,000 tickets? But 1,000 tickets is like what?
1,000 tickets gets you bugger all. You get like a mug.
That's not too bad.
But, I mean, to win like, there's like a Jurassic Park Monopoly game. And to win that, I mean, you need to like fucking 40,000 tickets. You'd need to spend about 300 grand to win this Monopoly game, essentially. But yeah, every single time he wins it. And every single time I'm like going, are you sure? The last time, this was on my birthday in November, we went. And I give them a tenner each, right? So I'll all go about and she'll have a couple of goes at the trying to get a teddy. And then she'll play like this really cool Nerf gun game. And then she'll spend money on like those VR simulators where you're on like a roller coaster, right?
Yeah, yeah.
She does it for enjoyment. His entire tenor goes into that, right? So the last time he got the jackpot on the third go, and as we were leaving, he actually said, I just needed the first two to get my eye in. And I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, he knows now.
Fucking Thor.
He knows like how much, and then he goes, right, okay. Right,
just the way you adjust.
Oh my God.
Like a sniper.
It's like it's like a darts player.
Dropping a blade of grass.
Exactly. He's like, he's tossing it up and going which way the wind is. It's going to affect. It's unbelievable.
You know, I always wanted to do, take a run up and play, you know, the basketball game. Mm. Throw the thing, just run up and fucking slam dunk.
Yes.
Fly in and just smash through the glass.
Yeah. They've still got the, do you know what, don't pay out as much anymore, the coin games. You know, the.
Like just the
tipping
slot
point
machines.
Kind of things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they
don't pay out much anymore. I used to remember they paid out a lot. When
they
were
back
two,
in the day.
When there were 2p's, I think the 2p was heavier.
Oh,
it used to be 10p's, fuck all now.
5p would be a nightmare.
Yeah. What's your highest score in bowling?
Oh, fuck, I don't know. I could bowl 300 if people started like screaming racial slurs at me.
Oh, aye.
But apart from that, like 40. overcome. Toxicity is like spinach to me, you know, Popeye job.
Yeah. I'm good. I'm good because it is one of those pub. Like, I'm really good at pool as well. I'm quite good at darts.
I'm good at darts. Yeah. I'd hammer you at darts. Mm. I guarantee I'll fucking hammer you. This is a Eugene thing.
It's a Patreon special.
That's a Patreon special, yeah. Do you know, Eugene's... that's the one thing about this movie. Mel Gibson's character does have a lot of Eugene
traits. He does. He very much does, yeah.
I can definitely see
that. He absolutely does.
Do you know at the start, by the way, when they say... you know, he's like, "Oh, we're all together." Will Gibson goes, "We're all together." It's like a real subtle advert in it. Mm. She goes, "We're all together." He goes, "Oh, I'll book a place." And then they were like, "It's going to take us two." And he goes, "Nope, booked it."
Yeah,
Airbnb. And do you think Airbnb rang up? And he was like, "Can we get anyone else to do that?" But
then Mel Gibson.
Then Mel, considering everything, like Airbnb.
That would be a fortune, that Airbnb.
That would
be an absolute. But I'm assuming he's minted. Because he was a space shuttle captain. So
what a bizarre...
I know.
So such a bizarre thing. Like, there's no reason for him to be that.
No. Only for a couple of gags about packing the car. That's literally all it is.
I love that when he packs the car and he just chucks.
He just
ends up being Will Ferrell's.
Here's the thing, right? Talking about jobs. And this takes us back to Home Alone as well. How has Wahlberg got such a class house? Right, because you see it in the first one. I don't think you see it in the second one. But when they drive up to Ferrell's house, and Gibson goes, "Is this your house?" and Ferrell goes, "Oh no, Dusty's house is way nicer than this." How's he got such a class house? Because as far as I can tell, his job is directing cars outside a school. That's right. How the fuck has he got that?
He's so good at it, though.
Like, I mean, that's
the school. You reckon the school, like, superintendent sitting there going, like, looking at the budget for the year, going, like, it just says books, 20 grand. And it's like, Dusty, 400K. And he's just like,
we can't lose this guy. He'll be absolute mayhem in that car park. He's the best in the business.
He shut down the library. He closed down the library. So. We need more cones for Dusty. It's fucking great. They go the whole way out to, like, I don't know. I've never been to any of those getaway.
I don't know, be like Aspen or something like that.
Aspen. Yeah.
It's a place to go in Dumb and Dumber. Oh.
I'm sorry.
It's great. And we need to talk about, because Will Ferrell's dad, as we find out, it's so bizarre. His mum's basically met someone on a flight. Well, they've both met someone on a flight, and she's then ended up shagging him and then left him. And it turns out to be Sully, the guy that landed the plane in the in the Hudson.
A lot of aeronautical jokes going on.
But
I wonder, does Sully have a wife in real life?
He probably does. I'm not sure he does in a Tom Hanks film.
It's just such a weird thing to do. Like, you know, it's not like a... It's not weird for actors to do it, but it's weird to go, there's Sully acting as himself. He's not an actor.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's like plowing someone on a...
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a... His wife must be going like, don't like this because it's not...
Have you not had enough publicity? Like, it's not like you don't need this part. It's not...
I wish you died on that plane.
But when it all comes out, is at that improv night.
That's so fucking grim, that scene.
Right, now, because I've never been... The only improvisational stuff I know is, like, Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Mm-hmm.
And the groups we have gigged with.
Yeah.
Right? But you spent more time in America. Do those nights, those improv nights exist? Where it's like... Because improv's so huge in America. It kind of blows my mind when you find out that... Most American comic actors have come through, like, Chicago Second City and all that.
It is massive for them. Sure, all the comedy clubs are the improv, like, yeah. You know, and I just don't get it. And I like it's just so shite. It's just so fucking crap. It's in a lot of Mark Wahlberg movies. He's in Ted, isn't he? But.
I mean, no harm to improv folk that we know.
But fuck off. But fuck off.
It's...
I just think it's for improv. I just think that most improv, if it's done right, I can watch it. I don't like it, but if it's done really well, I'd be like, this is great. I can see why it's good and everything. See when it's bad, and that's pretty much 80% of it. It's the exact same set.
Yeah.
Give me a place.
Do you know what? I do, actually. I'm not as harsh on it as you. Because I've, like, the guys we go out with, the Improv All-Stars at
they're good, Altitude, though.
They're the best. Yeah,
so they're this is what I'm talking about, the ones when I watch them. Like,
I know what you mean. It's like...
Yeah.
It's like someone that plays piano that's good is amazing. Someone that can't play the piano sounds fucking terrible. Oh, right. Shite improv's awful.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas good improv's really, really,
yeah, yeah,
really
it's a completely different level. Yeah. I just think there's such a drop-off. You're either amazing or terrible.
Yeah. It always... The guys at Altitude don't really have this... But it always, I've done weekends with like improv-y folk, and even though you know what happens, watching the magic fall away on the Saturday night when you've done the Friday night, and you go, "All right, this isn't really comedy, and this is all you're doing. This is the power of suggestion, essentially.
You're a
card magician. You're forcing these topics onto people because you've already written stuff
to do,
or you've had it once and it was an amazing bit, so you go, let's just ride that again.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when you go,
it's nowhere near as fucking...
It's not true improv. I go, fucking amazing. Like, I think improvisational rappers are incredible.
See, improvised rap is also learned. You can learn to do it.
I suppose,
to a certain level. There's a lot of people that, like, completely, like Harry Mack and others, can really different level of fucking stuff. They change things and cadences and flows and everything and whatever, but it's another thing that can be learned.
I suppose it is,
Also, how many fucking different things? It'd be great to, like, take out what's in your pockets, the same stuff.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Is that uranium?
The Turin Shroud? Whoa!
Somebody's like, oh, great. Someone had an orange in their pocket.
It's interesting. But then I suppose what we do is learned.
Yeah, yeah. It's just funny that his entire breakdown did come out in the improv.
Oh, it's very... But that looks awful that night. Generally looks
it's just
utterly, shit. Utterly abysmal.
Will Ferrell's absolutely dying laughing at most of it. And he's like, you shouldn't be laughing.
Oh, good God. Yeah. Oh, that's so cruel. How about a divorce? Do you know, it's a great line, right? When he says, when they're going in the cars and they're picking who's picking, sitting in the back, and Wahlberg basically shafts his dad by getting him to sit with Lithgow. And he says, oh, we run through some improv games with my grad. I've started this improv class on a Sunday. And he was like, you should look into it. And then Gibson goes, I'd rather look into a loaded gun. And then they go, ooh, that was good. And then Will Ferrell just goes, provocative.
He's like, what is it? Mark Wahlberg also slams improv afterwards. He's like, I mean, you're either divorced and then you start doing improv, or you're doing improv because you're divorced.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Your wife's either left you because you've started doing improv. She left you because... Oh, no, you've started doing improv because your wife's left.
Whatever. You get the fucking thing, you know.
We're not improvisers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, now all this is unscripted. This is unscripted.
Oh,
technically, this is improvising.
While I'm reading out, all I have, though, in fairness, is hooker joke, and that is
when
because that's a proper Eugene move when it's telling the kids a hooker joke.
Yeah,
we call Eugene El Padre as well.
And that is a very funny. I think the joke Glasgow tells is quite funny.
It is. What was it again?
Why does a duck have so many feathers to cover its butt quack?
You fucking! I can't believe you actually do. That's going to be on one of your fucking Christmas crackers.
I know. I'm running out now.
Are you?
Aye.
Oh no.
I need to write more.
Oh no.
I am genuinely losing I'm hemorrhaging followers from it, and I can't afford to. I can on Twitter. I don't give a shit on Twitter. Instagram. I can't afford to lose these followers.
You'll get ones though.
The El Padre thing, I think, is hilarious.
I genuinely
think it's
very,
very, very, very funny.
Do you know how many times they try and kill that kid as well? in the thing, right? You know, the baby.
Oh, yeah, Griffey.
Is it Griffey? Yeah, because first of all, Griffey, yeah. Yeah, I never thought of that.
Yeah.
You know, they send him down the fucking hill and they nearly kill him. Will Ferrell father sends the kid down fucking smiling when it's just about to become patty on the restaurant window.
Yeah.
And then they leave him unattended at when they're fighting
in the nativity.
that kid's fucking daddy's home too. He's like, none of them are fit to be fathers.
That's a weird bit, because when Ferrell to get Mark Wahlberg back after the improv thing, he calls John Cena, who is the father of Wahlberg's other kid, and he said, he's not coming to the special thing we planned for tonight. And he's like, what are you going to do? Tell him we're all going, but the only person who's not coming is your actual dad. And then the special thing that they've planned is they have dressed up. They've removed all of the models and the dummies and have dressed up as the entire nativity scene for this town that they don't live in. Right, so they're visiting. How did they get permission for... How do you even approach, like, a local council and go, see the nativity scene? We were thinking it'd be really nice if we played the parts one night. We'll alternate the parts.
We've got all the bits. We've even got a baby.
It's mental.
And they were like, well, how long are you going to do this? Just 20 minutes.
Yeah. And also, if Cena Hunt turned up, who was playing the other wise man? He'd have been a wise man down.
That'd have been so good.
So if anything, they're lucky Cena did turn up, because the numbers wouldn't have matched.
Just to get... We need someone from the audience to play another wise man. Yeah. That's fucking excellent. Yeah, that was... What, do you know, he kept doing pump fakes. You know, when he's trying...
Yeah.
He goes, huh? Yeah. You know, he's going for the what? Things. You what? Want it? And he's like, the guy's never played sports in his life. Fucking hell.
Cena is excellent. I
love John Cena. Oh, I love John Cena so much that when he's dying of cancer, I'll go visit him. Return the favor.
Do you know what? There's a thing, right? That this is good. I don't think I've ever... people that know me and my work... out with this podcast, we'll know I'm a big fan of wrestling, right? And CM Punk is... I'm not think I've mentioned it hugely in this podcast. CM Punk's just come back.
I've seen the videos.
Right, yes. So, which is huge. It's like, whoa.
I'm a Ken Shamrock guy.
Oof, the Deadly Assassin. but he came back and I listened to an interview with him. You know, remember Colt Cabana?
Yeah, I've met him.
Colt. So we had Colt on the radio show, and I think I did one of the wrestling shows with him and John Hastings, and I was listening to his podcast, and he had CM Punk on, and it was after CM Punk he was basically talking about the first time he left WWE, and he was saying in that see that Make-A-Wish stuff, all wrestlers do that, and they all do it to the extent that Cena does it. But Cena is the only person that ever gets publicized as doing it.
That's great.
It was like a proper WWE push to where they go, yeah, we know you do it, guys, but John's doing it as well. And he looks like he's the only man in America that ever does a Make-A-Wish
thing.
That's
so good.
Because tons of people do it. Like sports, NFL stars will do it all the fucking time.
I thought when you were going to say it, like, that you were like, you know why they do it? And I was like, this is like practicing moves. We kids absolutely down. Come on. The DGT!
How many Make-A-Wish kids were made from the Undertaker perfecting the tombstone? Another one!
That'd be so good to put me out of my misery.
Have you thought about maybe just doing a different move? Sleeper hold or something? No, it must be the tombstone. I must slam someone's neck into the mat. I told you my John Cena story.
No.
So me and my wee brother, we were huge wrestling fans in like late 80s, early 90s. So like the good, like just towards the end of the Hogan Ultimate Warrior and then into Bret. The main era was the Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon kind of era. Okay. And then right into Stone Cold, The Rock and shit like that. So we had this year, me and my brother, when he first came to uni, where we were like, we're going to go to as many different sporting things as we can. So we'll go and see, we'll go to a horse racing meet. We've already been to football. We'll go to a rugby game. We'll go to the darts. We'll go to an ice hockey game, right? So we're going to go, we're like, why the fuck have we? We've never actually been. We'd been to those kind of shitty wrestling things that communities would do.
Community wrestling
is actually pretty, because that's how like ICW and all that kind of stuff got out. But in those days, back in Dumfries, the village hall, or the village hall, the town hall would get hired out.
Yeah.
And it'd just be these dudes that had nothing, like no charisma, no moves, nothing. We'd been to them, but we'd never been to a WWE thing. And we went at the Brayhead Arena in Glasgow one night, right? And when they do those kind of, unless it's a big pay-per-view, they never brought the big guys, because I was like, yeah, I was kind of gutted I didn't get to see The Undertaker. That was the main guy. I went to see him in Triple H. And but they brought Cena, came over. So the main event was Cena v Sheamus. Irish dude, right? Because at that point, Drew McIntyre wasn't in it. So they didn't, the closest they could get to a hometown boy in Glasgow was the Irish guy. So he was Sheamus, right? And Sheamus wouldn't be that big, so he shouldn't have been in the main event with Cena. And Sheamus won it, right? Because they expected Glasgow fans to go, yeah, one of our boys. And we were like, I don't fucking
give a shit.
Those Rangers fans are losing the plot. You know? But we went, right? And we had seats. And we were kind of talking, because we didn't realize you could get drink at it. So we were steadily getting hammered at this, right? And getting proper and fucking yelling it and everything, right? And then I went to the toilet and said, there's no security to get down ringside. Like, there's nothing. Like, see that, the walkway bit? There's nothing to stop us getting down there, right? So Paul was like, right, I'll go and check. I'll go and have a look as well. So he went to the toilet and he was like, no, you're right. So we just went, fuck it. So we just walked down and stood right next to the ring entrance bit, right? It's where people are high-fiving and all that kind of shit. Folk could get signs up. So then the main event happens. Sheamus comes down and gets in the ring. Cena then comes down to this huge ovation, right? So Cena's doing the full thing. Fireworks are going off. He's fucking doing everything, right? And he's walking past and he's taking off like sweatbands that he's got round, right? So he takes off the sweatband, throws it into the crowd, right? A kid goes for it, and I watch my wee brother push the kid like that and pick it up and put it on. And I went, what are you doing? And he went, what? And I was like, you just pushed the kid out to get that. And as he's putting it on, he goes, I paid my money same as him. And I was like,
there's so many videos.
First of all, you didn't, because we've just sneaked into this area. This kid has paid at least four times what we paid. And secondly, even if you had, you utter dick. I was like, what are you going to do with this? It's a sweaties. The guy's dripping. It's greasy. What are you going to hang out on your fucking wall? What, are you going to entice women in with your John Cena sweatband?
Oh, my God. There's so many videos of people doing that in, like, baseball.
Oh,
stuff.
God, yeah.
You just... hand in the kid's face, like...
I was black affronted. That was like, so... what a dick.
That's great. Oh, God. Do you think that... what's your toxic trait?
My toxic racism.
Right. In my head, I was like, Mark Wahlberg's is thinking he can stop terrorism. Yours is, I thought your brother's is stealing off children.
Yeah.
Yours is, and when an opportunity arises, you feel like you have to take it. For example, you just saw that there was no security.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And you're like, well, I have to do it now.
Oh, if I see.
So if you see any
If I see a way to sneak into something.
You'll do it, even if you don't want to see it.
To get free shit. I cannot let that go by.
So that's yours.
Like, not a chat. If I was in a bar, and I've thought about it a couple of times at gigs where it's been like a gig that I've closed the bar while the gig's on, and the green room will be near the bar, and I've thought, there is literally nothing to stop me going in and just taking three pints. Like,
so
there's nothing.
So this is that's yours.
Absolutely nothing. And... I've had to physically restrain myself at some points to stop doing that, because I know if you get caught, you're not working for these people again.
Because
you can't go, I thought I'm allowed to do this.
Why? You fucking know.
And then it's a slippery slope, because then where does it end? Then I see the till open, so I go, well.
Next thing you're Alexandra Ambrosia stealing.
Exactly. Exactly. I've shoplifted as an adult.
As an adult? I don't know. No, I don't think I've done it as an adult. Definitely did it when I was a kid. Definitely had like chew bars.
I've done it.
Why chew bars too?
Unintentionally, I think. But there are times where I've, particularly with a kid,
the entire shopping.
But I'm not even the only one. There's a guy at our school that was very, very brazen and open about the fact that he would make sure whenever he did, particularly at Christmas shopping, when he was going to buy all the drink for over Christmas, he would load up like pallets of cider in the trolley, right?
Okay.
Put it down in the bottom of the trolley and then just walk out without paying for it. Or put it in the trolley and then put one of the kids' coats over the top of it and sit the kid on top of it. Because no one questions it.
Yeah.
And then what the key is to make it look like you're totally flustered and losing the plot because the kids are running about and it's a manic. And because then if they come back and go, you've not paid for those. Oh my God, where's my head at today? Oh, these kids are doing my head. Like,
But can we see your car?
Yeah. But I've never done it intentionally. I have been in the supermarket and genuinely been so stressed with the kids running about that I've had stuff that I haven't paid for.
Yeah, well,
or the kids have carried something out as well.
I definitely stole stuff when I worked in the shop.
That's even worse. That's so much worse.
Yeah, you'd have my favorite was lint bunnies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just walk up and crush his head. You're like, well, can't sell that. Can't sell that. Lovely for my lunch break, though. Eating a lovely and only lint chocolate because none of the shite stuff ever seems to be damaged, Ryan, that you want.
Yeah.
Like, it's gone. Yeah. Whole tin of roses dented. Shocking. Aye.
But then there's that debate over whether it does, is it a victimless crime if you steal something from Tesco? Because Tesco probably, I know Tesco shaft people anyway,
as do
other supermarkets.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not affecting them. Prices aren't going to go up because people are stealing. Because that's not how inflation works.
Every little helps.
Every little does.
It's in their thing. They're telling you to steal. let's think. Tesco want us to steal anything. Also, not one thing's behind any bars.
Exactly, yeah.
Why would everything be behind bars in a shop? The bread's not locked up. Do they want you to steal?
Well, that's true. The one company I have absolutely no qualms, and we've talked about this before, is railway companies.
No, they can fuck off.
No qualms whatsoever stealing off.
That's
the one I actively try and seek ways to.
Every time when I was on the train and I tweeted them that I had gone on for free.
No.
I jumped on the train and I was going to Killarney and it was in fucking Ireland. It's like one of the only five trains we have. And I was like, I tweeted them going like, hey. And I sent them a old ticket, not even from this day. And I sent a picture of my student card as well with it.
Oh, amazing.
And we went the whole way and I was with Donny, friend Donny. Donny, fucking CNN Donny,
mm-hmm.
Right? And Donny, we got off in Killarney. And there was like two people like checking everyone's tickets coming off, right? You know, like in the thing. But it was too much of a crowd. Both people had my Twitter profile picture printed out.
Oh.
They were trying to find me getting off the Killarney.
Wow.
I just sneaked through in the thing and I came out the other side and we were dying laughing. I was like,
Jesus.
I was like, oh, they took it badly. Ian Rod Aaron were coming for me.
That's mental.
And I was so easy. I was wearing a t-shirt of the Pope. So I was so easily caught. Yeah.
What? That is class though.
But fuck them.
Aye. Do you know a good one, if anyone's out there wanting to shaft railway companies? If you buy a ticket, right, it only really works, you can't do it with advance tickets. But because Sunday services are largely less well staffed than the rest of them, if you buy a ticket on the train, if you buy a ticket on the app before you get on the train, don't download the tickets and certainly don't activate the tickets, because there's every chance that on a Sunday the barriers will be open anyway.
Yeah.
If it's an early train, you go through that early train, go through straight through the barriers, you've got the ticket, so you're fine if there's an inspector. 9 times out of 10, no inspector, right? And then as you come off and make sure you've got off the train, just refund the ticket. It's never been activated.
Oh, right? Yes, yes, yes.
At most, you'll pay a £10 administration fee.
Yes.
But if you've been coming back from London, Nottingham, Manchester, Birmingham, there's a good chance you've paid about £90 for the ticket.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So it's just £80 straight back in the hipper. Free journey.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Well, I've told you before about my one about the advanced singles getting the money back.
Yes.
That's, I don't think I've told it on this podcast as well. Yeah. I'll leave it immediately. Aye. What else do we have about Daddy's Home? Because we've managed to.
We always get this for comedies though.
There's fuck all because it's just fucking funny.
Yeah.
I've got written down here about my favorite thing was they're called the Whitakers, by the way.
Mm.
So I was sitting there going, like, in the same universe as Flight. They're Whitakers. Cousin.
Oh, God, yeah. Christ, yeah, I listen. They're another Whitaker.
Or us Whitakers, you know. Yeah. He says, do you want to be like Brad in the friend zone or do you want to be like Dad in the end zone?
That is very good.
When he's doing the sex talk.
Aye, that's what I was going to ask you about.
Okay.
Did you ever get, because I can't even imagine what kind of sex talk Eugene would give.
Oh, he was not there. He did not get involved in that. Are you mental? Pulling the wire off himself.
So you never got a sex talk?
No, I think I got one from my mum. I don't actually remember. I got it at school and then I remember my mum. I remember I have a vacant memory of my mum.
So there's one woman that knows how to talk about sex, then it's your mum. I'm amazed she could give you the talk with her mouth full all the time.
Totally unnecessary. Do you remember yours?
Yeah.
No, I suppose you haven't done yours yet.
It was a flick book. My dad had drawn. This is totally unnecessary, John. These rudimentary crude drawings. No, I don't think I had it either. I can't remember anyone.
It's Catholic upbringing, isn't it?
I don't think I had any kind of.
I think my mum, I'm pretty sure my mum has, yeah. And then, I definitely remember my mum doing it now when I think about it. The more, if you're unlocking it more than I think about it. Eugene definitely wasn't there.
It was always very much a kind of trial and error thing when you started.
A trial and error, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was...
the good old days.
I remember being at a party one night and my pal was seeing this girl and I was seeing another girl who was her friend. And we're at this girl's party. And I ended up actually going out with the other girl for quite a long time, right the way into university. But that night, it was the first kind of night where her parents were away and there was a party going on. It was the night I'd lost my virginity, actually. It was that night. It was that night. And I remember my pal had been upstairs with this girl and he came down and told us all about fingering. Like, he was like, they love it. He's like, I don't know what I was doing, but my God, they love it. It was just him saying, they love it. And we were like, tell us more. Hey, tell us more, Yoda.
They love it. Just go for it. Just get them finger stamp.
Before we go, because this feels about it, do you reckon you could raise another dude's kid? And how would you feel if another dude raised yours?
I'd be totally fine with it.
We both?
Yeah, because if they raised mine, it'd be great off my... Great. Took the job off me.
Yeah.
Raising another, I'd be like, I'm getting all the brownie points here. What a good guy am I. And if it died...
Jesus Christ.
It would be like,
why
well,
would it die?
Because you wouldn't be... Because your heart wouldn't be fully in it. 3 weeks ago, I forgot to do the shopping.
Why was your immediate thought to go if it died?
My immediate thought to everything is, what if it dies?
It's a lot.
All I talk about.
Yeah, that's true. Jesus.
So if the kid died and it wasn't yours, you'd be like, oh, whoops. It wouldn't be that different.
I know what you mean. It wouldn't be.
Yeah, yeah.
It wouldn't be as bad.
Mind you, if your son died in the hands of
the other person, so now you're going. Yeah. Even if you weren't that close, you're then going.
Hey,
vengeance.
Or else, you see, I don't know. Maybe you could also just be like, tip them.
What?
A job well done. You got both of us off the hook.
Neither of us wanted this. So one of us was going to say, thank you very much for taking on that burden of murder.
Oh, God. Yeah, no. I don't know. I think I'd be fine. Why do you think you'd be?
I don't think I'd be good at either scenario. I don't think I think I would.
Well, you're, see, this is the thing. You're a father.
I'd struggle to connect with the child of another person.
Yeah, probably.
Because I'd start seeing faults in them.
Going, immediately?
Yeah.
Oh, they fucking creep.
I know. Look at the way...
Look at the way he walks. What a dickhead. Yeah. I did not.
Can't even speak.
I'm not teaching.
Fucking how lazy. But oh, the other way around, I think that would be one of the worst things in my life.
I reckon, I had
to watch another.
I'll reassure me.
I wouldn't mind you doing it because you do a terrible job. But oh my God. See if some absolute class
that'd be great.
Dad came in and started.
Oh, John Cena.
I would rather have a real piece of shit raise my kids than someone who is really good, because I would rather. That sounds terrible. I would rather they had a substandard life than me have to face up to my weaknesses and failures.
Your own insecurities. I'd rather my children's lives be irreparably damaged.
My ego and self-esteem are that fragile that I would rather not have to deal with my own insecurities.
That's great.
As opposed to them having a nice childhood.
Oh, God. I reckon if we could do the thing that they were doing, like you harboring. I love that.
Harboring, yeah.
You harboring any resentments?
Yeah.
You fucking harboring?
Oh, yeah. Right, the harbour's open and it's Fleet Week.
In terms of other things, I've just written down as a note for myself, I would definitely watch the fake Liam Neeson film that they try and watch in the cinema. What it was about, like...
Mistletoe.
The Mistletoe. I would go to Mistletoe. I've been to worse movies than
he's
Mistletoe.
He's an off-road truck driver delivering, what is it? He's an off-road trucker.
Yeah.
Driving his family home for Christmas when he comes across a load of terrorists.
Yeah.
And he has to stop them.
Yeah.
And see, he goes, I love you kids.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry you had to deal with these motherless bastards.
Motherless is great.
Yeah. Because I read an interview with Wahlberg where they were, if they make a three, they're going to try and get Neeson in it.
Oh, that'd be great, great.
Because I had it in my mind, you actually saw clips of the film. But all you hear is a voiceover when they're sitting in the cinema.
Yeah.
There's a very funny bit when. We need to talk about that as well. When they're in the. Because they get told to go back to the town because there's an avalanche. And he goes an avalanche, and John Lithgow goes to the cop. Do you think it's because all the snow? And he's like, "Yeah, I think the snow had quite a lot to do with it."
Have you ever been in the cinema when it stopped like mid?
No.
Yeah.
What, there's a power cut? And shit? No.
I have. It was back when I lit up that fucking Batman film. No. Absolutely, take that back. I have power went out. I still think that the reason why I hated Top Gun Maverick was because one of the speakers were blown out.
And that would make a difference.
I said to you, I was like, I don't think the sound's right. And I noticed it when they were trying to play the fucking shitty fucking 80s music in parts of it. And I go, I feel like the whole bass player's gone. So I want to go. I must watch it again because I feel like even some of the scenes, like you're taking off the sound. I don't think this is right.
Do you know? I went to see Top Gun Maverick three times,
right?
Four times. I went to see it the first time just for myself because I loved Top Gun and I absolutely adored going to see it. And then I was like, right, the kids need to see this, so I took the kids to see it, and they loved it. Then I went one night because it was the only thing before I got a night bus home from Manchester after the Frog and Bucket. And then I went because it was in 4D.
What was the 4D like?
I had to walk out.
Nine.
I couldn't. I felt so sick. Like it was too much. It was
yeah.
I'd only done 4D a couple of times before and they were just action films.
I've actually enjoyed it, and some films it's made better, but others,
this is like, just like literally every time they were on the plane,
a lot of them have to be made
getting
for it.
Fucking launched, it was.
Yeah, yeah. Aye. Like, remember when they first brought out 4D and 3D films? I remember the first 3D film I went to see was Clash of the Titans, and it wasn't really made for it, so they just added the thing, and you're watching it going, what the fuck is this? Just a headache?
Yeah, that is stupid. Yeah. Whereas, like, the Jackass film they made for 3D,
they
specifically made scenes for that, so that was class when you'd, like, puke coming at you and stuff like that. That was good.
I watched 4DX, you know, the movement.
That's what I'm talking about.
I watched The King's Speech.
Where do you start? You start to hear your voice going.
Yeah. Once in a while, you smell soup.
After it, you go up to the toilet. Can I have a popcorn?
40X, you go see My Sister's Keeper. You have to go through chemo halfway through it.
I went to see Sophie's Choice in 4DX. Only to turn home with one.
I got sexually assaulted when I went to watch Irreversible. I go to, what do you get my checks done? Oh, God. So fucked. Do you know they're doing ones now where like the screens are up the side?
Pretty cool.
Yeah, I think they did. You know, it's not like focused at the side. It just makes it look bigger, so you can't really, like, it's kind of like out of focus, the side.
But that would be good for Top Gun, because you'd see the plane fly.
Exactly, you'd be in.
See the roof one as well, that'd be fucking class.
Yeah. Look in the back. There's a dude in the back. Do those flights, guys, they usually have a guy in the back doing, like, the rally car thing, like, sharp left, 300?
Aye, I think they... Cloud.
I think we can go through them. It's bad luck.
But aye, that...
bad luck to go through clouds.
That scene at the end, Will Ferrell's doing the big speech about it being Christmas and you're here with your loved ones and we're all here with family. Yeah. And then one guy goes, not me, I came alone. And he goes, oh, well, that guy came to the cinema on his own.
A cold Christmas.
On his own. That's really sad.
I felt that I was taken aback because I only go to the cinema myself.
I should have. Not Christmas Day, though.
No. That is weird. I enjoyed the singing part because... When he rolls his voice like Bono is so funny.
I love that song.
Oh, fuck, that is proper you, isn't it? You probably watched the DVD of fucking Queen live it.
I did. I have watched that a lot of time. But that, oh my God, that song is just, I also like the more modern. I mean, it's not even that modern now. The one with like where Chris Martin from Coldplay starts. Dizzy Rascal. I really like that one as well.
Oh no!
But the original is just, oh good God, it's phenomenal. When you see some of the people in the background.
It's just
Paul Weller. What the fuck?
Paul, whatever the weather.
And that's a brilliant scene when he goes. It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid. Roger. The fact he's called Roger as well. It's the last name I would expect John Cena's character to be called Roger.
Oh, he goes up and he says, I love you. And he goes, you take that back. Yeah.
It's just the fact that that's his favourite song. And he's leaving, they open the door and he just goes, dung, dung. And he stops and he goes, oh my God, it's my favorite song in the world. And he's like, I'll listen to this in August. I don't care.
I used to watch Daddy's Home 2 with Daniel because the Slosses remind me of Will Ferrell's family.
Mm.
They're all like that.
I have this. I totally forgot that in the note. Telling your family you love them.
Yeah, because I love them. You take that back because Daniel used to do it to me to try and make me feel awkward. I'm not doing it back. It's weird. Yeah. It's weird. He would do it to Gareth as well.
We had this discussion in our group. About
fucking
have you ever told your dad or has your dad told you that you loved him?
Never.
Me neither.
In your entire life. I go as far as I have never had any contact physically. I've never hugged him. I've never shook his hands. I'm pretty sure I didn't even touch him when his ma or grandmother died. I'm pretty sure we still stayed like it was COVID restrictions.
Just a nod.
Yeah. Another one down. I remember, yeah, I remember what we did during his own mother's funeral. He was just pointing out people who were used to be in the IRA. There were people coming in, he was like, used to be an IRA general. That's what I really did.
Oh my God.
Never. No, oh. And I think that's the right way.
I think it's the right way. It's surprising. It shocked me when Dad, because I think it's a very Scottish and Irish thing. Americans probably do it all the time, but it's a very kind of stoic. But yeah, I think he was the only one out of all of us that said,
yes.
Milo must have. Milo probably does it.
Yeah, Milo does it all the time. He does it.
Christ, he probably crochets it for his fucking dad.
Leaves it under his lunchbox.
Yeah. But yeah, me, you, and Gareth were fucking horrified at that.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Because Daniel does it a lot. Like, he does it on the phone and shit.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah, when he hangs up on the phone to his parents.
I love, what a weird, I've only seen you.
I've only seen you since 2 o'clock. Yeah, he's exactly like, it's. That's why we used to love the film. Because yeah. Like, I was like, yeah, it's very funny because it is quite accurate. That is my side of the thing.
Yeah.
Me and would be Mel Gibson. His is definitely.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I
like, would, you know, we broke the laptop here. Or yeah. We didn't actually break it, right? But you know what I'm saying? But you know, they were like, I was like, I'll ring my dad. He'll come over and fix it. He loves doing this type of thing. Can you imagine? Like, if I broke anything, you know, Eugene, he just, like, it would, I'd be on the ringer, dead ringer phone within seconds. He'd be like, my dad's only texted me. Remember the last time I showed you? He'd only texted me 3 times in like 7 years and all. And all 3 things were tips for horses. It was like 2017 Grand National.
Oh, that's amazing.
2020 Grand National, and then one Cheltenham race.
That is wonderful.
My cousin Vinny, 10-1. Each way you'd be sorted, sir.
I'm seeing my mum and dad today after this. We're meeting in Glasgow because they're going to give the kids their presents for Christmas. And at the end of it, we're going to go for a meal. At the end of it, me and my dad will probably hug.
Yeah.
But neither of us will be happy about it.
Okay, right.
Neither of us will. I don't think either of us will be comfortable with this.
I've met your dad. He's the same. He's cut from the same cloth.
Yeah. But there's certainly no love you.
Well, we didn't really do the Christmas thing, right? This is only a new recent thing. So I'll put up the video. Tomorrow, say after the day after, when people have watched it, I'll put up the bowling video, right?
Yeah,
and I'll put up the other one, like when I showed you about the time that we didn't really give a shit about Christmas. I told you about the time I came home and all our presents were chucked underneath an exercise bike. I've got that picture here.
They decorate.
Like, I'll put it up on. It's not in fucking focus, but I'll put it up on the thing. But it is literally just an exercise bike with all the presents lumped under it.
And that exercise bike wasn't a gift for someone. That exercise bike was always there.
Nah, it was just lying there. Right. It was to try and get blood into Eugene's legs. It was used like once before.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Yeah. The last thing I have about this film too, by the way, is you know the way that he was like trying to get him to go and kiss the girl and he ends up kissing his sister, right? And then he just slaps his... They really got over the absolute trauma of all that very quickly.
Yeah.
He slapped his...
Sis's hand and goes, you're a lucky girl.
Yeah, a little slap in the caboose.
The caboose. I'd not heard the word caboose for ages.
Yeah.
And then after we watched this one, my son started using the caboose.
Good. Caboose is great.
That's a good name. That's a good word. Right, next week...
It was fuck all about Daddy's Home there, but...
No, there was quite a bit.
As we said, every time we do comedies, I mean, like, they have it covered.
just go and watch it.
Yeah, just go
and the soundtrack's brilliant as well.
I didn't even notice the soundtrack.
Ah, the soundtrack, so it's got all Christmas films.
It's fucking Will Ferrell, isn't it?
It's got the Run DMC song, Christmas in Hollis.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah, yeah.
It's got fucking great stuff. So next week, we have to remember, because two people... message me to say that you've not told the Christmas sausage story yet.
Okay.
So as it is Christmas week next week, I'm going to put a note that you have to tell that full story.
I don't fucking have, this is the thing, there's such a non-story. You fuckers just lost your minds about it. I'll do it next, well, I'll tell what you remember and what I know about this, the sausage story. Okay. And it's in tomorrow, it's in tomorrow, next week's episode.
Next week's episode, we are doing... the ultimate Christmas film. We're doing It's a Wonderful Life next week. And we'll hear about the ultimate Christmas story in the sausage.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's our first black and white film as well.
Yeah. And our last.
Yeah. Oh God. So yeah, It's a Wonderful Life next week. So that'll come out probably a couple of days before Christmas. So
oh, nice. Imagine why listen to us constantly.
I've got an absolute fucking cracker of a jumper for next week.
I tried to buy one online, you know.
They're not easy. Not easy to find this year.
I don't want to imagine if I was trying to buy one and I was like, I just didn't have the money for it. Yeah. But imagine if it was the exact same one that you.
I know.
I'll ruin it for you if I said it now.
I don't think it will be.
Okay.
I really don't think it will be.
I reckon it will be.
All right. I don't.
I'll tell you after.
Okay. So yeah, Wonderful Life next week. Just keep doing what you're doing. Thank you very much. Last week, Home Alone episode was our most listened to and downloaded of all time, which was absolute class. So if we can keep that trajectory going, we might start...
Sky's the limit.
Catching some of those fucking pricks above us in the comedy stand-up charts.
Yeah.
Fucking Rob Thomas.
We got some murmurs of it. We've got... It's just turning completely toxic now. We're trying to catch these rat bastards. Every one of them.
And yeah, if you could leave us a review. We got our first one-star review.
Did we?
Yeah, but the shite bag hasn't left a review.
So I think
it happened after the roast battle.
All right. Okay.
So I think it's some.
That's fine.
Some dick has just gone, I like these people.
Yeah.
Leave a review, you fucking coward.
Aye.
An actual physical review.
Who the fuck writes a one-star review and doesn't write anything?
Every other one, 5 stars.
If they wrote one-star review and the fucking N-word, I'd be like, well, okay.
Aye.
I'd be more like.
Aye, but at least tell us why you didn't like it.
At least
so we can improve.
Yeah. You're making no improvements here, boys.
But yeah, keep doing that. Keep sharing all the stuff. My tour is rapidly approaching, particularly if you're in...
you fucking delivered that like it was a tsunami?
It feels like it.
That was my toxic trait.
What? Causing tsunami?
I feel like I could survive a tsunami by just... If I saw a tsunami coming, I just take it off my top and run directly at it. Can like
dive into it.
I would survive. I feel like I would survive a tsunami if I ran directly at it.
I know what you mean. It does.
Because it would also be before it hits land, so there's less chance of it like being cut full of trees to cut you into bits and everything. You're just hitting the fall. Hopefully you survive.
I know what you mean, actually.
Exactly. Or if there's an earthquake.
No, you can survive an earthquake.
Yes, I would sit in those massage chairs at airports and everybody else would be shaking. I'd be comfortable. I'd be perfectly still.
You fall asleep. You're so relaxed.
Perfectly still.
Tour dates are all on the episode description. The links are down the bottom. Particularly if you are in Belfast, Cork, or Dublin. So if you're a fan of...
You're looking at me. I don't have any pull.
Fucking Yul Brynner, then... So it's Limelight in Belfast.
Ah, great. Love Limelight.
Where's Whelan's?
Whelan's, love Whelan's.
Dublin.
Ah, these are all good ones.
Where's the one in Cork? God, I can't remember. That's absolutely terrible.
Coco's? No.
Where Chris Kent runs gigs.
Oh, fuck, I don't know where that was. Everyman or something?
It's on there anyway. They're all about 50 seats. So surely there's 50.
Cunts.
150 through the entire nation of Ireland.
Oh, they're pretty horrible. Pretty horrible, begrudging bastards, aren't we? So, thank you.
They start the first week in February. Apart from that, anything to report?
Nah, mine's are just, I'm doing the Christmas gigs, and then I'm back into, then I'm doing the roast battle. There's one again in January, and then I'm doing the roast battles in Denver if there's Americans. Yeah. And then I'm just off to...
Do you know, I'll actually look to see what our numbers are like in Colorado.
Okay, yeah.
That's where Denver is.
Okay, yeah, good stuff. Good work there. I was like, good work. And then we have, we have the Glasgow Comedy Festival.
We have the Glasgow Comedy Festival.
Little ructions there about something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Little rumblings
of the announcement soon.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah. I wonder what it could be.
I know. What the fuck else is it going to be?
Mark is leaving the podcast due to repeated attempts.
But apart from that, when's your special coming out?
That just Don't talk to me about it.
Not before Christmas.
We have, what's happened is I've now promised it coming out twice, but we're keeping it for a certain reason.
Ah, okay.
But I don't think that reason is going to end. So basically, I've got a special that's stuck in limbo that will eventually get on YouTube when the other thing doesn't happen. That's how I'll see it.
Netflix?
So, no, not Netflix. Let's put that in. Let's Prime. Just put that
in. Disney Plus.
The Calm app.
So. Right, that's us. Go home and watch Daddy's Home 2.
Go
please.
Home.
Yeah, go home.
Go fucking
the
go
fuck
home.
Out of our lives. And we'll see you for It's a Wonderful Life next week. Goodbye.
Good luck.